Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
As climate change pushes us to dramatically cut the use of fossil fuels, many are coming to the conclusion that solar, wind and other renewable power sources might not be enough to keep the lights on. And nuclear power is being touted by some as a possible answer to fill the gap as states transition away from coal, oil and natural gas. But the question is, what is nuclear energy and how does it work exactly? Well, here to tell us more is Dr. Shane Bergen from the UCD School of Education. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning.
So we want you to answer the basic question for us about this. What is nuclear energy?
Nuclear energy is when you tap into the very heart of an atom. You start to rip it apart or fiddle with it in such a way that you unleash the most powerful forces in the universe. There's nothing that compares to it in terms of its oomph. And there is a lot of big questions that we have to ask around its use, its safe use and alternatives to it. But starting at the very beginning, it was long thought that the atom was completely indivisible. Now, you and me and everything around us is made up from atoms. And it was thought since the Greek times, you just couldn't break that down. You couldn't at all. And at the end of the 19th century, scientists started to notice that you could. And this was groundbreaking to think that something that was completely indivisible up to that point was divisible. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they were able to do was they were able to strip away the charges that sort of these clouds that go around the centre of the atom. And that was the first sort of unbalancing. But the next big leap came when they found that they could get to the very heart of the atom, where all the matter is. This is the very centre of it, something called the nucleus, and that it itself could be broken. And that was first done by an Irish person working with an English person, a guy called Walton. You may have heard of him. Your listeners may have heard of him. And he, in 1932, was the first person to artificially split a nucleus. He took something called lithium, which is an element, and he fired little particles at it. And he was able to split it into two different elements. He was able to take lithium and split it into helium. Two bits of helium. Now, that was the first time anyone had ever done that. It was absolutely groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. It was the first experimental evidence of Einstein's equation E equals MC squared, a very famous equation. So that was all done by an Irish person almost 100 years
and
ago.
When this happened in 1932, was the realisation there then that you're unleashing a huge amount of energy in doing this?
Yes, so they knew that once the atom was divisible, that if you were able to crack open the nucleus, that you would be disrupting the strongest bonds in nature. And when you disrupt those strong bonds, you unleash an enormous amount of energy. So much so that some of the matter, some of the actual stuff of the atom is converted into pure energy. And that's what the equation E equals MC squared describes. It says you can take matter and in certain circumstances, you can turn that into pure energy. And a small amount of matter can be turned into an enormous amount of energy. So if you split tiny amounts of certain elements, certain atoms, you can turn that into power. That's what our sun is doing, actually. Mm-hmm. That's how our sun works. So they knew back in 1932 that this was possible. And of course, we all know what happened at the end of the 1930s. We went to war. And there's a great story that's out there around the Allies and the Axis powers knowing that a bomb could be made from this process, but not knowing how far on the other people were. So the Allies had no idea how far ahead the Germans were, and vice versa. You mix into it issues of things like religion. There was an awful lot of the physicists in the early 20th century who were Jewish people, who were making massive leaps forward in Germany. But of course, they weren't welcome in the institutes that they were working. Refugees were scattered around the world. Scientists were coming to places that were far from home, and they were bringing their knowledge with them. And Einstein famously wrote a letter to President Roosevelt in the 1930s saying, look, this is possible. You could do something here. If you could develop a weapon using this technology, you could end the war and end it a lot sooner. And so that's what happened. And the Manhattan Project was the result.
And did they know at that point in the late 30s how to harness all of this energy that was created by splitting the atom?
Sort of. So they knew in theory that you could take an atom, you could split it, and that some of the matter would be turned into energy. But they didn't know how much of it they'd have to have, and they didn't know how pure the elements had to be in order for them to split them. So they instead of working with lithium like Walton did, they went for the huge elements on the periodic table. These are the things down the bottom. People have heard of uranium or plutonium. Now, they're used for nuclear weapons or nuclear power because they're big, and so they're easy to split. Right. So they're very, very bumbly. And so that means it's easy to overcome the forces that are holding them together. And so the big question when making a nuclear weapon was, where are we going to find the uranium? Where are we going to find the plutonium? So they'd go digging it up. And there was lots of other engineering that had to be done in order for them to kind of get from concept through to like delivery of a weapon or device.
And you touched on the Manhattan Project. Will you tell me a little bit about that? And that was why Einstein grew uncomfortable with all of this.
He did. So Einstein was one of thousands of scientists who were effectively kind of dragooned into working for the government. And the British and the Americans worked together in the mountains of New Mexico, a place called Los Alamos. Very far away from any other person. And they worked in their thousands there to develop nuclear weapons. And they had two approaches, and both of them ended up working. And of course, we know the consequences were that they dropped them on two cities in Japan with devastating loss of life. But of course, when you read about it, there's an awful lot of debate as to whether it shortened the war and saved lives, or whether it was just never acceptable to do this. A lot of scientists, once they got to the point of developing the bomb, a lot of scientists involved in it said, you know what, why don't you just demonstrate its power without killing anyone? And you could say to the Japanese that we could bomb a city next if you don't surrender. So there's an awful lot of, you know, I suppose, people got in the way of all of these things, right? But a lot of scientists like Einstein were very uncomfortable. And he said, had I known what this would have contributed to, I would not have been a scientist. I would have preferred to be a watchmaker.
Yeah. And this is why then there's such fear around nuclear power because of those incidents and also the accidents that we've seen with nuclear waste.
Yes. So nuclear power plants were the next step. And since the 50s, we've had close to about 40 countries would have nuclear power. And places like France would generate an enormous amount of their electricity through nuclear power.
I was in a nuclear power plant in France. Yes, as a journalist. It was an extraordinary place. Quite an eerie place. I don't know if you've ever been in one, but they're dropping these capsules deep into these vats into the ground. And it was like a city, the size of the place. Vast, vast compound.
Yes, and the regulation around them, particularly in the EU, is incredible. So there have been two major accidents associated with nuclear power, Chernobyl, which we're all familiar with, and more recently Fukushima. But people would say, if you were to look at on the whole, and I'm not an apologist for nuclear power, but if you were to look at on the whole, the amount of people that have died from pollution due to burning fossil fuels, or the inevitability for us of continuing to burn fossil fuels, that's not a good thing either, and that on balance, nuclear power may be safer, or is safer, in fact. It's demonstrated to be safer. It's just that when things go wrong, they can go terribly wrong. And the waste that's produced from splitting heavy elements, that can be challenging to get rid of. Challenging is a polite way of putting it. So the Finnish are perhaps leading the charge at the moment. They have massive underground vaults in a geologically stable part of Finland where they're burying the waste. Because the nuclear products from nuclear fission, which is the splitting of elements, that can be radioactive for anything up to tens of thousands of years, which means that it is continuing to decay. It's giving off nuclear radiation. And that can be harmful to humans. It can be harmful because it'll either have catastrophic immediate effect on your organs, or it can interfere with the DNA within your cells and cause mutations, which can result result in cancer.
You're not selling this now, Shane.
I actually am more positive. Sorry, maybe I'm not coming across to... I'm trying to be balanced, I suppose. If I were, you know, I would like to see in Ireland us having a more mature debate about the use of nuclear power, because we burn too many fossil fuels here, and renewables will take us so far, but they won't bring us the whole way. We also have to realise that we do use nuclear power here in Ireland. About 1% of the power that we have at the moment comes from nuclear power through the interconnectors with France and other places. And so we are using it. But I think as a consequence of the debate back in the 70s around Cairns or Point, it's become quite toxic that you can't even discuss having the option of nuclear power in Ireland without being kind of told, no, it's just too dangerous. I'm going to cover my ears and we're not going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I think it has challenges, massive challenges, but it's not beyond us. And also to say nuclear in general is not sort of some sort of scientific boogeyman. Every time you go and you get into an MRI machine, you're harnessing nuclear power. If a loved one in your family has to have radiation therapy because of cancer, you're harnessing nuclear power. Things around us are radioactive, and some of it's harmful, some of it's not. We just have to learn to kind of manage that risk in an appropriate way.
It's very interesting, Shane, and thank you so much for talking to us. It's good to talk to you again, and no doubt we'll have a chat soon. Dr. Shane Bergen there from the UCD School of Education. In the headlines, a special criminal court has rejected an application by the former Defence Forces member Lisa Smith to have the charges against her dismissed. The 39-year-old is accused of being a member of the unlawful terrorist group Islamic State between October 2015 and December 2019. The trial is due to begin tomorrow morning. And that's about it for today. Thank you for listening. Today's programme was produced by David O'Sullivan, researched by Ciarán Dunn. Louise Kerr-Ross was our broadcast coordinator. Patrick Carney was on sound. I'll be back with you tonight for Clare Byrne Live.